Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
I want to today teach and preach and encourage you on this topic, good stewards, God's most blessed people. Say that I'm a good steward, and I'm among God's most blessed people. Now, this was a teaching that actually I brought part of it or a version of it when I went to Danville, Illinois, to preach with Pastor or teach at Pastor McCray's church and did a workshop there. And this was my topic. Different name, a different title, but there's similar content. And it's in my heart to share it with you when I had opportunity. And that day is today. We're going to take, first of all, our scripture from Romans chapter 14. Now, we are in the Romans devotional, Romans Road devotional, not a new devotional. We did that some years ago. We're going through it again. I pray you're being blessed by it every day. And our first scripture, in fact, comes from Romans chapter 14, verse 12. It says, "So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." Let's read together. "So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." You know, in our culture, people are really big on talking about other people, what they should do, what he should do. But the Bible says we're giving an account of ourselves to God. We should be thinking about, what am I going to say to God when I stand before him? Don't worry about other people. Think about our own situation, because we understand accountability. We understand what it's like to be called to the carpet, as we say, or to be held account. Well, ultimately, our Creator, our Father, our God, is going to hold us, or we shall give an account of ourselves to God. And so that's coming, y'all. It's like, you know, the test is coming. And the test, you know, for people who are well-prepared, who are good students, the test is always a good thing. The test's always good if you're a good student. Amen, somebody, come on now. If you're a good student, if you care about the subject, the test is great. Bring it. Come on. Bring it on, because you're ready for it. And so in life, we are living our lives in the light of the fact that we'll stand before God one day and give an account for how we served and so forth. And listen, for believers, there's no bad news in that judgment. There's two judgments. There is the judgment seat of Christ. That's for believers. Then there's the great white throne judgment. That's for everybody else. Don't get it twisted. And before Christ, it's all good news. Come on. He won't surprise you. You know, yeah, you did all right, but I remember when you didn't do so good. That won't happen. And there's no tears in heaven. There's no sorrow. There's no sadness. There's nothing in that judgment that's going to make you sad. So give an account just means you get to share all the good things, all the grace, all the mercy, all the blessings. Amen, somebody. Don't get upset. Don't get worried about that upcoming account. But yet, understand, you know, sometimes when people, you give an account, people ask you things. If somebody, you know, is not pleased with you, they don't bring it up at all, you know. Just don't bring it up, because there's nothing there to talk about. So we want the Lord to bring up a lot of stuff to us and help and have him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen? Now, John 8:31, next foundation text. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then jump down to verse 36, says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." I love that this version, most versions of the Bible, use that phrase, that the truth shall make you free, not set you free. You know, set free come from the old mentality of bondage that people often have, that they feel like I'm bound, somebody set me free. Well, in Christ, we're living, we're born into victory. We're born into life, born into strength and mercy and power. And so that what we're about is being, the word makes us free. It's a process. You know, if a person's in jail, in prison, their heart don't change, you set them free, they're going straight back to crime. But when people come out, for example, in Jesus' house, when men come, I mean, from a prison, they go to Jesus' house, they are made free. They're in Bible study twice a day, prayer every day. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even to the point where Pastor Bumpus has found out it's best for guys not to go to work too soon. Just be here every day and in church for several weeks, and then we'll see how you do. Because the process of being made free is a process. So thank God, y'all, we've been made free. So you set a person free who is made free, they're going to stay free. Set a person free who's been made free, they will stay free. Amen? So whom the Son, if the Son therefore makes you free, you shall be free indeed, which is Jesus' way of saying you sure enough going to be free. That's what he's saying in our, you know, Ebonic vernacular, all right? So today, talking about stewardship. And stewardship is a mode where you can live in freedom. Say stewardship is freedom. No, correct it. Say good stewardship is freedom. All right, next scripture, foundation scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. I'm going to just camp out there for a moment. So when people think about us, when people think about others, whenever people think about you, which you have no control over, but the one thing I pray that comes to mind is that we are servants of Christ and that we are stewards of the mysteries, mysteries meaning all the precious things of God. The thing God doesn't give to everybody in the world. He only gives some things to believers, to those who love him. Even among believers, he doesn't trust everything with all believers. So the thing is, what you want is for God and others to consider you as servants of Christ and stewards of God. Then this part here is so key. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. It didn't say it was optional. He said it was required. And we'll get into the reasons why here, because, you know, there's no reason to be a steward. Well, I'll go further. One is not a steward if one is not faithful. There's no stewardship without faithfulness. So then, let's explore this. Now, the revelation of being a good steward is our key to freedom, financial and otherwise. I say revelation because revelation is what God helps you understand. It's like when the Lord spoke to Peter and upon this rock I'll build my church and gates of hell won't prevail against it. And then others are like, you know, Who is this? I don't understand this. But, you know, but then Jesus asked the question, but Peter gave the answer, Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. That's revelation. Revelation is the Father revealing to you understanding. Now listen, don't get it twisted, because revelation from God is consistent with Scripture. What did I say? We're into a whole thing now where people got revelation, quote unquote. I don't see Jesus in it. I don't see the scripture in it. I don't see the Holy Ghost in it. But revelation, you know, it still comes, but it's reliable to those who walk with Jesus, who understand, who pursue the Word of God, and are filled with God's Spirit. So then I see revelation. I see that being a good steward is a revelation. Because, you know, people say, you watch these. We're in football season now. You got guys who can, you know, who can catch and who can all this. But then sometimes guys can just run like crazy. I mean, it's fast. And so the commentator says, you can't teach that. You can't teach that. You can't teach speed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's God-given. And the idea I'm making is that there are things you can't teach people. And I believe I've learned that we can talk about stewardship, but I can't make you a good steward. I mean, I've been pastoring 40 years and I haven't figured some things out yet, you know, because I realized that you can't do for people what they don't want to do for themselves. I should have known that from day one, you know what I'm saying? But you keep trying and hoping and thinking, I'm going to find a way to help somebody see the blessing of tithing and giving and being generous and serving and handling God's things with care. Those are things that come by revelation that God literally has to just make you see it, help you see it. And once God helps you see it, you see it. You see it for the rest of your life. Amen. All right. So the revelation of being a good steward is our key to freedom. All right. Now, let me go back to that slide again. So here's a message Paul gave. So then he's saying, in essence, you can try to do this all by yourself, or you can operate under divine authority and grace. So when Paul talked about being a good steward and handling, we'll define steward in a moment here, but handling the matters of others well, either you're going to do things in your own strength or do it by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, by revelation from God. I mean, Scripture leading and guiding, all the wisdom out here, receiving all that. But ultimately, if we're going to walk in this, it's because we have received it as a revelation from God, and we feel like we're under divine authority and grace to do it. You know, those of you who do any kind of ministry outside the church, whether it's youth or prison ministry, you know, don't nobody want to go to prison to visit, to hang out with people in the joint? You don't want to do that. You don't want, I mean, you know, you may want to until you go a few times. And like, I don't know about this. You know, my wife talked about when she was, of course, she had student teachers and mentored many. And some of them would come in, she called them missionary student teachers. That is, they came in like, what's this like? Am I going to like this? And some say, no, I don't like this. Because missionary in the worst sense of the term, somebody just showing up, but not really committed to it. Amen? So truth be told, I mean, of course, a true missionary is committed. But the point I want to make to us is that if you operate under divine authority and grace, your mindset changes. Your whole life changes. You do things because you sense the revelation of God to do it. And therefore, you can't be persuaded to not do it. You can't be discouraged out of it. Amen, somebody. You know, I saw a friend of mine who was posting, and he was talking about how prophetic ministry, I mean, real prophetic ministry, how it's difficult. People just don't receive it, and people, whatever. I said, hey, man, don't worry about it. We built for it. We built for this. You were built for it. Come on. It's like we say, I'm in the kitchen. It's hot up in here. It's the kitchen you in. It's the kitchen. It's heat in the kitchen, y'all. Come on. We act like some things we do are supposed to not be this way. But revelation settles you in the fact. The conditions don't matter. I came out today. Now, you always hope, pastors all over the world hope it doesn't rain on Sunday and snow on Sunday, you know. You know, some folk don't like the rain and don't want to come out when it's raining. But I opened my garage door, I saw the rain pouring out. Oh, man, the rain. And I thought, I don't care about no rain. With revelation, your sense is, oh, okay, it's on now. It's raining, it's snowing, it's cold. Let's go. That's not natural. That's supernatural. Because in the natural, you want to crawl back up in the bed, pull the cover back over your head, get the remote control, and watch, you know, binge watch something on Netflix. All right, you got the point. But thank God, so then, stewardship, I'm offering this to us, suggesting it's a revelation. We can talk about it, we can teach it, but to really enter into it and do it, it's something, I mean, God is something the Spirit of God helps you receive and embrace, which many of you here have that. You know, that's why we've been around a long time and everything, all the bills are paid, all that, because this is a church of people who are good stewards. Amen? Now, let's define stewardship. So the word, Paul uses the word steward, which is oikonomos in the Greek, and it was a word understood by people in his day. Oikonomos was the major domo. That's a term you'll see out there. And the major domo is a person in charge of the administration of the house or estate. The person in charge of everything, the major domo. And that is who the steward was. You know, we have a street called Benford Boulevard. And you may not know, but it's named after a man, I forget his first name. Say again? Tom Benford, who was the chief steward at the Motor Speedway for a long time. I'm not sure what all his job entailed, but obviously part of it was making sure things were running correctly at the Speedway for the race and so forth. And he also, I think, was a bank chairman and all that. He was a major domo as a steward. So then this is the word Paul is using where we're concerned, that we are stewards and that we are persons put in charge to administrate a house or estate, or more simply said, a steward manages the property and affairs of another. Say that. A steward manages the property and affairs of another. And that is the revelation that people don't seem to understand. We act like, live like, all this is mine. What's mine is mine. What's yours is mine. All this kind of stuff. But really, everything comes from God. Your life, the breath, the next breath we just took just now, that breath came from God. Now, we're responsible for it, for what God has given us. So watch this. So then he says there, a texter says, so it's required in stewards, one be found faithful. Or he says he must be found faithful. Watch this. Not only trying to be faithful. Paul didn't say, now do the best you can. He said, be found. It's required to be found faithful. This word faithful is pistos in the Greek. It's the same root for the word faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faithfulness, it is impossible to please God. Now, God will love us always. Don't get it. Love and faith. Love is unconditional. But pleasing God is a different matter. God may love us, not be pleased with us. Amen? That happens. So pistos means of persons who show themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties, right? That's what faithful is defined as. And again, faith is all wrapped up in that. So I want us to understand that, being faithful is required in stewards. I thought about this, you know, we held media camp for a long time. And we would, you know, as you know, train young people in media arts of different sorts. But one of the things that was important for our values, for me, was to give the youth access to the very best equipment we had access to, which is my personal equipment. I got some very good stuff, very expensive stuff, and the kids used all of my stuff only after they proved they were good stewards. And so Jonathan and I and the instructors, the very first day, went through this tutorial on how to hold a camera. And for a film camera, the first thing you do, you put that strap around your neck. Put the strap around and hold the camera that way, because if you slip and lose your grip, the cameras won't fall to the ground, right? Simple thing. Or use the handle on the camcorder. And I'll tell you, in 20 years, nothing was dropped and broken. Now, something was stolen. One time. But the point is, I wouldn't even surprise, because we train them, we help them understand the value. And so it's required in stewards to be faithful. Now, if we saw somebody with a camera, you know, holding it like this and no strap, then they're not stewards anymore. So, you know, you can't do that anymore. You have to do something else now. You go over there and take them out, use a mouse and, you know, something else. You can't, you know, you're out of the camera business. It's over. You don't get to try this a second time. I'm talking about real world stuff now. You don't sit there and hold $3,000-$4,000 of gear, and we told you what to do with it, and you did not. You chose not to. You chose not to do what we said. You chose not to wear the neck strap. That was your choice. And so you're poor. You're not a steward anymore. So you can't do this anymore. Other things you can do, but that's done. Oh, that's hard, Pastor. Oh, it's life, y'all. And plus, it's very expensive gear, too. You know what I'm saying? Can't afford to drop and break it. Because if you were shown and demonstrated how to, and you chose not to do it, when people show you who they are, believe them. How dare you hold this camera in your hand like you owned it? We really helped children understand stewardship at that level. I want to encourage us today that the next scripture explains it. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 and 7. So Paul addressed people who acted like they were owners, not stewards. Watch this. He said, "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" So then, again, a problem with young people who were holding these cameras without the straps is they were not the owners. I owned it. This is my camera. I don't have to have a strap. What's your example? No, the example is, do what I tell you to do. For your sake, when you get to my level and you own your own equipment, you know how to hold it without dropping it. In case you had a problem with what I just said, I sense that, okay? Still do, but I move on. But who makes you different from another? And what do you have, watch this, that you did not receive? Paul asked a question. He said, people, what do you have that you created, that you formed and fashioned? What do you have that you did not receive? And the answer was, nothing, Paul. Nothing. This is a good argument. So he says, if you received it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? If this doesn't belong to you, why do you act like it does? And that was the issue Paul dealt with in Corinth at that moment. And it's an issue we deal with, that the revelation of stewardship cures us from the notion, I own this thing. In other words, I created it. No, I'm responsible for it. Amen, somebody? All right. In every area of life, finances, marriages, parenting, everything that involves other people especially, you have to realize you're responsible to God for them. Watch this. Human nature, or carnal nature, does not want to submit to the lordship of Christ and the authority of God. The benefit of being a good steward is that you get to use, enjoy, live in, and share all resources and the wealth of the owner. Wow, that's a big one, y'all. Even though it doesn't belong to me, I don't own it. As a good steward, I get to use it, enjoy it, live in it, and share all the resources and wealth of the owner. So you think about how God has blessed you in your lives and you've worked. I will not say for one moment, you've earned your way through life. I'm not saying it had nothing to do with you. Of course it did. But ultimately, you know it was God who empowered you with the knowledge, the skills, the health, the strength, the willingness to do your job and to earn as you have done, to accomplish so much in your life. And then the other side of it is you get to enjoy all the blessings. Now, you know, there are situations where people who are actually, you know, truly major domos in the sense that they're actually living in a house that's not theirs. They have access to cars and resources that they don't own. We're not in that place, but those who are, I believe, are a better example of this. They get to go and drive the Benz or whatever, or drive the Rolls or whatever. Even though it's not theirs, they get to enjoy it because the owner is always gone. They're always responsible for everything in there. So that's one example. But I want us to kind of make it more practical to where we live today and just kind of make it clear in your own mind. You know, that's why I got this iPad here. I've had it for a long time. And it's in perfect condition. I mean, it's like, it's probably 6-7 years old, this one here. And there's no scratches, no dents. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying things don't happen. Things happen sometimes, the things we have. But I don't make it my aim to mistreat even things that I bought and I own, technically, like my cameras and all that. All that stuff is in good shape. I just sold something last week that was in almost perfect condition. I'm happy to be able to transfer to somebody at some point, and you're going to get the best I had. Not the broken down version of what I had, you know what I'm saying? Not the hoopty version. You're going to get the good version. And so stewardship makes you sensitive to taking care of things, your home and your cars. You got the point. Let me go on here. Now, as a team member, employee, supervisor, student, or whatever station you occupy in life, you are a steward. Say, I am a steward. Again, team member, employee, supervisor, I mean spouse, whatever your station in life, you are a steward. And you must be found faithful. Amen? And because if we're not faithful, we either have never had revelation on stewardship, or two, we've chosen, we decided to go against what we knew we should do. We just flat out, I'm not doing that. All right. So that's what we do sometimes. Human nature bends that way. So let's transfer this concept to life and ministry. Again, the Apostle Paul wrote, "What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" So good stewardship begins with having a spirit of faith and maintaining a good mindset. None of this is the spirit of legalism, it's the spirit of excellence. Now, I watched my wife, it's been a long time since she had a women's meeting. In fact, she explained in the meeting why it's been so long. She had a testimony there. But I thought, I just watched her prepare like, my, wow, wow, wow. You know, I mean, I live with her, I've saw her 42 years prepare to teach school every day. I saw her prepare for yesterday, preparing the food and different things she did. I just marveled. Like, then she brought the word and engaged others. I'm like, oh my God. I just thought, man, she's so good. Lord, tell her how good she is. Lord, inspire her to do it again. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, everything's in God's time. And I saw her stewardship. She has revelational stewardship. Past kind of person, as many of you are, if you say you're going to do something, I'm done with that. I ain't got to worry about that. I can move on over here. Now, some people, you better watch them, right? Because some folk don't do what you expect. They do what you inspect. So good stewards, you give them some instruction, they ask some questions, and they're off and running. We need to be those people. Paul said, it's required in a steward to be found faithful. Let a man so account of us as stewards of Christ, or as servants of Christ and stewards, the mysteries of God. So I'm preaching it, but I'm praying in my heart, Lord, give us revelation of stewardship. All right, now Paul wrote this to the Philippians. Now this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. Watch this. That you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. Wow. This is what Paul wrote. And so, that as we get revelation, in knowledge and discernment, then we can approve the things that are excellent. You know how it is. Sometimes we're in a job where it's our job, quality control, or some measure of looking at something and seeing that it's really what we say it is or advertise it to be. And every company has quality control people. Their whole job is this thing what we say it is? And in our lives, it's kind of wearying because, you know, even though I heard a man say, well, Paul Scanlon, he said, bring your A game even if no one sees it. Bring your A game even if no one is watching. Because listen, y'all, if we don't do excellence when we're by ourselves, we won't do it around people, not consistently. I mean, if we make excuses and cut corners and things, you know, when it's easy to do so, oh, when it gets hard, every corner gonna get cut. So then let's approve the things excellent. Now, I'm not talking about have a perfectionism spirit, none of that. I'm just saying, just have the revelation of stewardship. That's all. This doesn't belong. I received this. This is from God. I'm going to treat this like God is the owner of it. Amen? So he says that we can be sincere without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. All right. Next point. All right, so freedom manifests in stewardship and excellence. Say that, please. Freedom manifests in stewardship and excellence. You know how it is. When you've done the right thing, there's a sense of freedom about it. The Bible says that wicked flee when no one pursues them. You know, but when we have a clear conscience for doing the best we can, everything you do won't be acceptable. Everybody, I know that. But in your heart, you've got freedom and peace when you've been a good steward, been excellent as much as you can. This is what is the measure of freedom in your heart, in your mind, in your life. Obviously, if we handle our finances well, we pay things off and have, and I was, we were somewhere, Pat and I was someplace, and we were at the gas station of all places. And there was some lady who had a job. Her job was going from pump to pump while you're pumping gas, trying to get you a credit card, get you sign up for a credit card. Like, this is a bad, it's a sad job, but hey, thank God it's a job, I guess. But do you want a credit card? It has, you know, I said, no, I've had plastic surgery. So what are you talking about? She laughed. Oh, I can't, she laughed, you know. That's the first time I heard that. Well, you know, I don't want a credit card. I've got a credit card, you know. So then what happens, now I'm free. That was a long road to get debt free. It's a long road. And I got a couple of things that are, you know, well, car payments, so forth. But one payment, I'll say, or one note left on the car, a few payments left. All right. But even with that, I'll have an asset when it's done. The point is, I have, and we should have, a sense of freedom. Stewardship gives you that. Our ministry is in a place where we can do things with people. We can have a whole dinner and pay for it for every member. Amen, somebody? Amen. Now, we couldn't always do that. Like, come on now. Y'all gotta, it's due by Friday. You can pay half today and half later, you know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying everything gonna be free forever. The point is, though, we're in a position where, for this occasion, we can say to every member, just come. And we will serve you and bless you and give you gift. We're going to give you stuff. A meal and stuff on top of that because we appreciate. I mean, that's freedom, y'all. People jump up on Facebook, people I know, and they're having some kind of fundraiser or some event, Freetown doing something. Man, give them some money. Cut them a check. I mean, it's freedom, y'all, freedom. Freedom to give, to share. And that comes from what? Being a good steward. This is good. John 6 and 12. Watch this. So after Jesus fed the multitude, this is so good. He told the people, gather up now the fragments, the broken pieces left over, so that nothing may be lost or wasted. Isn't that something? Folk ate bread, you know, ate some of it, threw some pieces down maybe, you know, didn't eat some of the fish, left it on the ground. But Joyce Meyer wrote this. She said, Jesus could have simply done another miracle to provide for the cleanup for his miraculous meal. But instead, he taught people about the importance of making the most out of what God has provided. That's stewardship, y'all. That's freedom. So then he says, pick up all the fragments. He could have just said, spoke a word, stuff would have just jumped up and ran over and jumped into the boxes, into the baskets themselves. But he said, no, y'all do this. Good lesson. So everything belongs to God. And we have the privilege of caring for it and using it as God would give us grace. In Luke 6:38, Jesus said, give, it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, stewardship, it will be measured back to you. So how we give, how we serve, the measure by which we do it is measured back to us. And in a great way, we certainly reap what we sow, and hopefully for the good, because it goes both ways. But Jesus said, now this is what happens when we give and serve the way God says. So the final point here is the measure you use is your level of stewardship. Say that. Say, the measure I use is my level of stewardship. Yeah, how you go about what you do, I mean, whether you're volunteering, whether you're working for money, whether you're said yes to an assignment, whether you're still a student, whatever it is, the measure is your level. Now, ushers, pass out these worksheets. I'm going to hand these out to you. Just touch on it, not do it all today. I'm going to ask you to engage on this because these are action steps, reflection questions, action steps. And I want to present the next slide. Here's what's going to happen here. And we did this, in fact, in a conference in Danville. And so here is the statement we'll work with as you're receiving these worksheets. So pass them all out. All right, on a level of 1 to 10, let me have one too, please. How would you measure your stewardship in the following areas? You okay, sir? Amen. Okay. Yeah, okay. Praise God. Glory to God. Persevere. On a level of 1 to 10, how would you measure your stewardship in the following areas? What action steps will you take to improve? Now, I'm asking you to work on this at some point, because you will do this if you have revelation of stewardship. If you receive what I'm saying as from the Lord, I think you'll want to engage here because it'll help you. Now, the sheet is somewhat different than the slides on screen. Let's go through these real quick. All right. On the screen and on the sheet. All right. Personal finances on a rating of 1 to 10, how would you rate your stewardship of your finances? Are you a 1? Are you a 3, a 5, or a 9? And how you handle your finances. Now, the second one here is, the sheet isn't on the screen. I'm going to skip ahead to the second one here. Work or ministry preparation. So on your job or in your ministry, how would you rate your stewardship? Again, it's just a self-reflection. Now, of course, God is watching. Nobody's looking at this. Nobody's going to evaluate this. It's just you and God here, okay? Your conscience and the Lord. Marriage and family. Now, let me also add this. I feel this. Now, listen, y'all. Don't let condemnation be part of this equation. Come on now. Some of us got really bad self-talk. Some of us are real hard on ourselves in ways we shouldn't be. We, you know, be honest, but don't condemn yourself. But how would you rate your level of stewardship in your marriage and family? Now, again, not saying how good is my marriage. No, I'm saying what's my role in it? Am I doing what I need to do? All right, next slide here. Jump to these and get through this here. Health. All right, just now listen, for each one, when you sit down with this, action step means what I would do. So for example, if my personal finance, if my stewardship level was like a 5 or a 6 or 7, what's my action step? Well, maybe one could be I need to take some online course on budgeting, or I need to talk to a financial counselor or whatever, or I need to just do what I know I should be doing. Sometimes, you know, we don't need new knowledge. It's just that getting into what we already have known. Okay, equipping, serving others. Rest and recreation. Now, there's one. These are all important, but your rest and recreation are very much part of your stewardship. And then the final slide here, strategic planning, study and professional development. And then finally, it could be number one, is prayer and meditation. All right, so there you have it. So take the sheet with you in your own time, maybe work on this. Let God bless you with it. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this time in the Word, time of reflecting on what Paul wrote, on examples we have heard. Lord, thank you for revelation on stewardship, Lord, that we may be counted faithful as stewards, Lord, that we will be able, as Romans said from the outset, Lord, that we will be able to give an account of ourselves to you. And that account will be great because we have endeavored, Lord, to serve you faithfully and be diligent as much as we were empowered to do so.